Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But right now, joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast now on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. How is the podcast going, Mr. Mark Schlereth, who joins us on the River Islands guest line? What's going on, man?
It's going well. It's going exceptionally well, actually. So we're growing like a weed. Great podcast just got released today. I dare you to listen to it and not laugh hysterically. And there's still always going to be some good football on there as well. So it's going well, man. It's all good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, man. Well, I know you cover the NFL like a Snuggie. So, like, is there anything in that most recent pod about the 49ers, their quarterback situation, their injuries, their performance? Like, what are you thinking right now after they suffered their first loss?
Well, I mean, they have had the injuries, obviously. Brock Purdy, who, you know, I'm a big Brock Purdy fan, but he didn't look sharp. They didn't run the ball well. I mean, McCaffrey averaged, what, 2.5 yards, under 3 yards per carry. And meanwhile, you know, all this tete-a-tete going on between Cohen and between your guys' defensive coordinator, Xerxes. I look at those situations going on right there, and you got to stop the run game. Like, they couldn't stop the run. Jacksonville Jaguars, that's a different football team, and I had predicted this coming into the season that team was going to be a lot better than people thought. I think they were going to win that division. I still think they're going to win that division. They're a much better football team than people gave them credit for, but I tell you what, you know, Robert Saleh, and I wish they would have thrown down. That would have been awesome if they'd have just, like, I know you're not supposed to, and I know, you know, you can't preach violence, but a little violence would have been awesome if they actually traded blows. That would have been great.
Liam Cohen, Robert Saleh, 10 round with 8-ounce gloves. How do you handicap it, Stink?
Oh, like I said, Xerxes, the Persian god, would have just absolutely obliterated Cohen, I think. Although Cohen did, you know, and Cohen, he's one of those, he's got a dad bod, but I think he's a little tougher than probably he would get credit for. But I think Robert Saleh would open a can of whoop ass personally.
No, I love that. And I kind of wish that the defensive line without Bosa could bring that sort of can of whoop ass energy. And when you look at the game, outside of the ETN big run, how was the Niners defense unable to really slow down ETN in that run game?
Yeah, I mean, that's a $64,000 question, and you know, I haven't gone through the coaches tape on that game. I haven't really looked at the coaches tape yet. I just watched the replay, you know, the 30-minute cut up replay. So, you know, ultimately it comes down to being able to have gap sound assignment. And you just can't let it happen to you. Now, I will say this, Jacksonville offensive line wise, and I did the first game of the season for them, they are a physical group. I think Ezra Cleveland's playing as good as he's played, maybe the best football he's played. I love their left tackle, even though, you know, he's probably not the most gifted of athletes, but he's a big, firm guy. I mean, they'll lean on you. And that's one of those things. I almost look at them kind of like I look at the Rams or the 49ers. I talked about this on the podcast today, as a matter of fact. When I played, we used to always sit around and our coaches would say, the 49ers, this is the late 80s, early 90s, would say, oh, the 49ers, they don't practice in pads. They're soft, you know, they're soft. And then you'd go out to Candlestick, and they would just whip your ass. And you'd be sitting on the bus licking your wounds, and you'd be whispering to each other as players because you didn't want, you know, the coaches are sitting up front, and you didn't want one of the coaches to overhear. And you're like, you know, whispering, like, lied to us, man. Those guys aren't soft. These guys are a bunch of badasses. And, you know, and I think that's kind of the style with which Cohen wants his guys to play. I think that's kind of what the way the Rams are built right now. So, and unfortunately, with the injuries and everything else, the Niners are not quite there yet.
Mark Schlereth is with us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. It's a perfect question for you, a former offensive lineman in a Shanahan system. Mark, why are the Niners not running the ball well?
Yeah, I mean, some of it is they're getting so much from a defensive standpoint. I don't think defenses feel completely threatened by their passing game right now, especially switching quarterbacks and, you know, playing Mac Jones and now going back to Brock Purdy and the guys you have outside. And I'll equate this to kind of how I always felt about teams that didn't have a war daddy as a pass rusher. You know, when you don't have one dude or two dudes that can flat rush the passer, then you're like, hey, man, we can get five guys out of the pattern at all times because we can go 5 1-on-1s. We can go 5-0 protection. We're not afraid to do that. And ultimately, we'll win. And I think when teams look at you and say, hey, man, there's nobody that truly threatens us outside the numbers. There's nobody out there that we're scared to death of. So if we sit there and say, man, we're going to load this box and we're going to live with the consequences and you can't beat them consistently. I mean, come on, McCaffrey had what, 11 targets? Like he led the team with targets. I think he had 5 or 6 receptions. Like, your running back, and I get that he's great, and I get that you can split him out and do a lot of things, but your running back can't be your number one target guy. It just can't. And so I think some of it is, hey, man, we are not going to allow you to run the football. We're just not going to allow you. And at this particular point in time, I don't think they're good enough to overcome that, and especially not in the passing game. You have got to be so good and efficient throwing the football that teams are so scared to bring that 8th guy up in the box that's when you get those big runs. That's when you get that wide open space. It's all a numbers game, and right now they can't win the numbers game.
Not only that, Stink, but it doesn't seem like they can really pass protect that well. Hines Allen had his way with Trent Williams, and if you can't run it and you can't protect, how do you go about finding that vertical passing game?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, it's really hard. I don't think there's not a team in the league that can drop back 40-whatever times and have success. You just can't. It's just impossible. The athletes on the other side are much better. And, you know, you speak of war daddy pass rushers. Man, they got two with Hines Allen and the other cat they've got who's a damn good player as well. I can't remember his name right off the bat. I did do their game week one, but I, you know what, I've taken a lot of shots to the head, so whatever. But they've got two guys. They can really rush. Is it Walker on the other side? I don't know, but they've got two guys that can flat out rush the passer. So they're a really good defensive front, and you've got to be able to take pressure off of those guys by having some success. And if you got to sit back and, you know, and ask your quarterback to do it, it's just a bad recipe. You know, they got to get Ayuk's got to come back eventually. You got to get George Kittle back in the fold. You know, you've got to have some other guys that threaten a defense that, you know, you just can't pin your ears back and go, we're not scared of you guys right now, so we're just going to go ahead and we're going to dictate to you, as opposed to the opposite being true.
Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. We're talking with Mark Schlereth, Stink, right here on 95.7 The Game. Speaking of having a great pass rusher, yeah, Nick Bosa's not coming back. And based on what I saw against Jacksonville, Stink, I think the Niners need to make a move as soon as the league will sort of start taking trade calls. What are your thoughts on that? Is Trey Hendrickson from Cincinnati a match?
Trey Hendrickson's a great player. Yeah, so if you could go out and get a Trey Hendrickson, absolutely. You know, he's in his 30s, but that guy can still rush the passer, so that would be great. Cincinnati ain't going anywhere, and they don't like paying guys anyhow, right? I mean, they're a garbage organization. So that would be one that I would reach out and ask if Davey, did I say that? Garbage? Don't tell anybody in Cincinnati.
No, this is just between us right now, Stink. Just between the three of us,
Keep that on the down low between us guys. Trust tree, dude talk here, right?
Perfect.
One dude to another dude.
That's right.
So, yeah, they're garbage. So, yeah, that would be a guy I would reach out to and see if, see if they want to unload him because you know they don't want to pay him.
That's a fact. And after last night, I think that most of America would agree that they are trash based on what they put out there. And they had their own wide receiver talking about how it didn't seem like they tried. But short of that addition, what can Robert Saleh do? Not a defense and a coordinator that loves to blitz a lot and looked like they played a lot of bend but don't break. How might that work against Matt Stafford and a guy with an offense that can kind of carve you up?
Yeah, it's not a good recipe. I think the other thing that that the Rams have done here in recent years, there was a time where you guys just absolutely took the Rams and just took them behind the woodshed. You know, my dad used to say that to me all the time when I was young, when I was a youngster, and I started feeling a little salty. He'd be like, "Hey, you want to go behind the barn? Like, you want to go behind the barn?" And let me just tell you, my dad, poolside, my college buddies called him, my dad would whoop your ass. You know, he was that, like, let's go. If you want to go by, and of course I never challenged him because until I got a bit older, right? But right up until, even when I was in high school, I mean, that guy was frightening. And so anyhow, like, you know, I mean, it's one of those situations where, that's who the Rams have become. There was a time when the 49ers would just line up against the Rams and absolutely thunder punch them on top of the head, and they'd walk away, you know, just bludgeoning the Rams. Well, guess what? The Rams adjusted. The Rams looked at that and said, hey, man, if we're ever going to be able to compete with the Niners, we've got to flip the script, and we've got to become the bully. And they've done that in the last couple of years, man. Their offensive line, they've addressed that. They're good up front. And I always say this about them, you know, Sean McVay always talks about illusion of complexity and, hey, how we are designed or disguised as a spread team, but we really run the ball and we're good at that. And then defensively, you know, they've addressed their defensive line and their defensive front seven. And I'm telling you what, they're a really damn physical team, which they don't get credit for because, you know, Matthew Stafford throws it around. They got a bunch of good receivers and all that kind of stuff, but they're really based on, and Sean will tell you this, we're based on physically just bludgeoning you and then opening up our passing game off that.
Hey, Stink, what's your perspective inside of a locker room and how, and I know contracts weren't like this when you were playing, but these quarterbacks now that are going north of $50 million, we've been kind of sparring with a lot of our listeners today because once you sign that deal, people want the quarterback to have a cape on, be Superman, and go do a bunch of stuff by himself, even when things aren't perfect around him. Is that fair? Like, what's your perspective on how the dynamic changes when somebody signs the big deal?
Yeah, well, when you sign the big deal, you sign it for what you've, you know, what you've done already. And then, you know, they expect you to play really good. But the bottom line is how many quarterbacks can wear the cape, right? I mean, Josh Allen, Mahomes, you know, beyond that, there's not a whole lot. And, you know, Lamar, but let's face it, every time they get into a game against Kansas City, Lamar, you know, I mean, they have a formula to beat Lamar. And so, you know, they fall apart. But, I understand the expectations. I understand you like, oh, $50 million. The $50 million or whatever doesn't make him all of a sudden 6'5" and, you know, 245 pounds and can run. He's still the guy he is. So he's asked to operate within a system. He's asked to operate that way. And, you know, ultimately you've lost players. You guys have not been healthy. You don't have a receiving core right now is currently constructed that is frightening. I think they're good. I think Ricky Pearsall is going to be a really good player. You know my affinity for Juwan Jennings. I think he's a really good player. But is he one of those guys that people absolutely fear? Do you get into a situation on third down and say, hey, man, there is no way we can leave this guy one-on-one? And I would tell you, nobody thinks that way. And so, you know, I mean, for Brock.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Purdy, I get it. You know, you guys see a bunch of money. I think one of the things you have to understand, the way the salary cap is structured, we like to point the finger at players. You know, it's easier to do that than it is the organization or whatever. But I think Brock Purdy's a really damn good player. And then ultimately, I think that, you know, you've got to be able to kind of support that guy, because he's not, you know, Josh Allen, and that's okay. You can still win, and he's gone to Super Bowl and went to a Super Bowl and went to an NFC Championship game where he got hurt. He's been really, really good for you guys. So I just, like, it's not Brock Purdy's responsibility to manage your cap, and it's not anybody else's responsibility to manage your cap. That's your job as an organization. It's your job to develop players, and you know, ultimately you got to try to find out why your guys are always hurt. And I don't know what the answer to that is. I really don't. But they seem to be one of the most snake bit organizations in football.
You mentioned that Brock's not a wear the cape guy. Is that kind of befitting the Shanahan system? Does he create a system not needing or even wanting a guy to wear the cape?
Yeah, I think he's relying on, you know, their system, their ability to run the ball, their ability to be a great play calling, their ability to set up your play action, create wide open opportunities for players, you know, and that's great. And coaching is awesome. Coaching is awesome. And I think Kyle Shanahan's one of the best coaches in the National Football League, bar none. And you talk to anybody who does what I do for a living, and they'll tell you the same thing. But the bottom line is this. Coaches are great, but players are better. You got to have players. And, you know, how good has Bill Belichick been minus Tom Brady? And the answer is he hasn't. He's been awful. And, you know, and ultimately this stint in North Carolina, he'll probably never coach in the National Football League again. And kind of sad, but it is the reality of how it works. You got to have great players. And those players got to stay healthy if you're going to be able to be good.
Stink, you were good. That was awesome. Yeah, fantastic, man. We always appreciate your time, and we look forward to talking to you again in a couple of weeks.
My pleasure, guys. Be well, man. Take care.
You too. There he goes. That's Stink, everybody. That's Mark Schlereth and Odyssey NFL Insider, Mark Schlereth, who is the host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Mark is the host of the Odyssey original, The Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Remember to listen to The Stinkin' Truth Podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts.
Yeah. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
Browns
why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.